The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four o'clock hour of Dukes and Bell, and it's brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Last night was interesting, man. When you talk about Penn State, I mean, Mike, they're up 10-0 in that game, and I'm going, oh, this might get out of hand. And then all of a sudden, Notre Dame answers. Backup quarterback leads them down to a field goal before the half, and then they make the adjustments and come out. It was a different animal in the second half. Tonight, we get Ohio State and Texas. It is the Cotton Bowl. As the bowls are tied in, obviously last night was the Orange Bowl, and we're going to get into to these games here coming up. But, man, last night, and you said this when we started the show, and big shout-out to Mike Conte. He was down there at the game, obviously a Penn State alum, and I know he's hurting today because it feels like they let that one get away from him.
Yeah, and a lot of folks now are kind of doing a deep dive, Carl, on some of the things that Penn State did. Like, here's the game-winning field goal. Maybe have everybody on the line of scrimmage. They got two guys in the back. Like, what are you doing? You're going to wave your arms at the kicker? So there's a few things now that are starting to come up saying, for instance, the Drew Aller decision, to, let's try to go down the field before the end of regulation. And some folks are saying, look, and you brought this up earlier, he hasn't shown you anything all game. So how are you going to expect this guy to now do something? They had two timeouts, and it was under about 40 seconds left. So a lot of folks say, look, take your lumps, just take a knee, go to overtime and take your chances and just reestablish the run game. But they didn't. And Drew Aller, I mean, a lot of folks saying whatever chances he had of being a first-round pick are completely gone. Now, I don't know. NFL scouts evaluate a guy for one game or another, but – I mean, look, C.J. Stroud looked like the best player on the field that semifinal loss to Ohio State to Georgia. Remember Mercedes-Benz? I thought Drew Aller looked terrible. I mean, he just didn't look like anything in that second half with the game on the line.
No, and when you can't, you know, find open receivers down the field for explosive plays, it was all game long. And that's why at the end of the game, this is, again, we've had this discussion about management and clock management and all this stuff. You got to read the room. And for me, James Franklin didn't read the room as, here's what I'm going to try to do. We need a field goal, right? I mean, like, seriously, right? Like, I don't need my quarterback dropping back and trying to make plays that he's been unable to make the entire game. And so that's why I put the blame on Franklin. Now, maybe I'm a little biased. I just have a hard time for anybody telling me he's a great coach when he is 4-20 versus top 10 teams. So that tells me every time there is a big game, whether it's at home or on the road, his team doesn't show up. And so last night, ultimately, you know, everybody wants to talk about the quarterback, and that was a big deal. But the coach didn't put him in position. Run the football. You guys had success early. Make some adjustments. Try to get in field goal position, and don't put that pressure on him, and then he doesn't deliver, and everybody goes, oh, he threw a bad ball, which he did. But that's where your coach has to manage the situation, Mike, and I don't think he did that.
Couple other notes from the game. I thought the refs, and this is the same officiating crew that played that did the Georgia Notre Dame game down in New Orleans. I thought they were terrible. I thought the pass interference, a totally underthrown ball, and they throw the pass interference, which again that helps Penn State to tie the game. I thought that was some jive. Also, a lot of folks, and this is something you're getting more of this coming out of Philadelphia and Penn State Nation. That was Riley Leonard truly okay to come back in the game with a concussion when you know he did the post game interview where he's like, I forgot your question, and they're like, oh, they go, that's it, he's concussed. No, I mean, he's excited, his teammates are celebrating, but leave it to Philadelphia. I mean, that part of the Penn State Nittany Lion Nation to say that, wait a minute, how the hell did he get out of the concussion?
I think they hibbed on that. I just do. I think the moment was too big, and they were not going to not allow him to come back into the game. Now, I hate it because, again, you know, I will say this, if that was your team, and they're not. I don't like Notre Dame. But if it was, wouldn't you say you better put our quarterback back out there? That's the only chance we're probably going to have a chance to win. So I think they fibbed on that, Mike.
I don't know how it works. In the NFL, you've got to have, you know, the independent doctor who goes and okay, I don't know if it was their own staff, their Notre Dame staff. Hey, it's, who's the guy? You picture some Irish guy with a cigar. Yeah, he's fine. Get him back out there. Yeah, go win for the Gipper. But anyway, Riley Leonard comes back. He did throw two picks in the game. I thought one of the crucial moments, and they may have punched it in otherwise, but the Jeremiah Love second and third effort with three guys on his back to get in the end zone, that was a hell of a play. And another guy that I would say that, you know, certainly, you know, we talked about being big for Penn State defensively. They've got so many athletes. You know, there's so many dudes that just I was saying, like, wow, is one of these guys going to be the next Micah Parsons? I don't know about that, but certainly
they got a lot of guys,
some studs on the defensive side. Right,
they do. I think they got two potential first rounders up front. I do with their defense. Real quick, and then we'll talk about Ohio State and Texas. Big O, let me hear James Franklin about the costly mistakes. This is him after the game. And again, Drew Allert talked about, you know, his mistake as well, and the kid owned it, and, you know, it's what you do in those moments. But the head coach, again, I think you got to know, like, and if you don't get it, right, you play defense. Like, you're going to overtime. Like, you give yourself another chance. Don't say, hey, I need you to throw the ball 20 yards or whatever it might be when we've not done that the entire game. We've not been able to find a wide receiver. Right. Here's Franklin on the mistakes.
I love every guy in that locker room. I love every person in that locker room. Proud of them. Played our tails off tonight. Obviously, we made too many mistakes that were costly. Give Notre Dame credit, and we'll learn from this, and we'll be better.
Well, the good news is, I think for the Big Ten is, you know, you still have Ohio State alive. Obviously, Penn State was in the mix. They still have another chance to have one of their representatives in the national championship game. And I hope that's not the case because I want Texas to win. But, Mike, as we shift gears, here's what we know about Ohio State. They're hot. They beat Tennessee and Oregon by 3 scores apiece. They destroyed their competition. Longhorns have been a bit more less complete, should I say. That's the word I'll use. They, you know, again, Arizona State, they had a lead. You go into double overtime. They played Clemson at home. That was a game because they kept allowing Clemson to score. It hasn't felt like this Ohio State run where they just demolished Tennessee and they had better players and just beat the hell out of Oregon by 3 scores, which I don't think anybody expected. Well, what do you expect tonight? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I think this is going to be a high scoring game, even though you just touched on the great defense. Is Sarkisian going to learn from the past shortcomings against Georgia and just the way they nearly gave it up to Arizona State back at Mercedes-Benz? Because to me, Texas has got everything that all the other teams have that have gotten this far, but to me, is the killer instinct there, for lack of a better word, Carl, stepping on the throat, pedal to the metal. You know, it just seems like they let teams stay back in these games. And Ohio State, are they going to come out throwing haymakers? And how are they going to get the Ohio State offense off schedule and create some third and longs, which are going to create some real situations where the defense can capitalize? As I said yesterday, I think the whole country's feeling this way. It's hard not to be blown away by what Ohio State did to Oregon. Now, the good news for Texas is it's kind of a de facto home game. How's the weather, by the way, in Dallas? Everybody can be there right after the storm rolled through.
Yeah, I mean it's like here. I think they've cleared the roads. You've got some, you know, stuff still lingering. They compared it to 2011 when they had, you know, snow and ice on the roof of the stadium, and then it slipped off and hurt people. But they know how to deal with that now because they weren't sure how that was supposed to be dealt with. It should be fine from what I'm hearing, and there are lots of Horns fans that had made the trip up there anyway, and, you know, there's a lot of Horn fans, period, in Dallas. I mean, there's a lot of business there, but you're right. Look, they beat Tennessee and Oregon by a combined score of 83-38. That's how dominant Ohio State has been in these two games. And then here's my concern about Texas tonight, even though, I hope they win. Mike, you talked about Sark. They didn't run the ball in the Peach Bowl in that win against Arizona State. 53 yards on 30 carries. That's not going to get it done against this Ohio State team. And then you say, okay, great. They got one of the nation's best defenses, which they do. But the problem is you allowed Arizona State and Clemson to pass the ball, and Ohio State's passing game is better to allow them to be get back in the game, specifically Arizona State and even Clemson on your home field. Those are the things that concern me, even if Texas gets a lead. And so I'm a little, you know, nervous. I'm like, okay, yes, I'm with you. Maybe a high-scoring game. What are we talking about, guys? I don't know, 31-27. I don't know, 34-27. Something like that is what I'm thinking this game may be. But it's just hard right now for me to look at this Ohio State team, as much as I hate it, and say they're going to go out and Texas is going to dominate. They ranked second, I'm talking about the Longhorns, nationally with 21 interceptions. Can they do that tonight? Because I think that's the kicker, Mike. You got to pick the ball off. You're fourth in sacks in the country, Texas is. Can you get to the quarterback? If those things happen, that's why I said I think this game is won on the defensive side.
And how do you disrupt what has become this? And again, why this wasn't used against Michigan, I have no idea. But Jeremiah Smith looks like, you know, everything that Marvin Harrison Jr. was, or even maybe better. But how do you keep, you know, Will Howard from connecting with this guy and taking that away? Because Jeremiah Smith's the kind of guy, when he gets hot, he can take the game over. And that's kind of like what happened against Oregon. So, yeah, and then, you know, how does Texas deal with the pressure? If it comes down to, I joked around with you the other day, if it comes down to a field goal, do you trust Carrot Top to not screw this thing up? I mean, and it's almost like Ryan Day, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, you guys ready to run me out of town. I'm not saying he's playing with house money, but I mean, there's a swagger with the Buckeyes that certainly did not exist, obviously, in light of the Michigan loss, but later in the season.
It's going to be interesting. And by the way, you should want Texas to win as well, because now they're in the SEC. And that means the SEC is still being represented in the national championship game. I know it feels weird. It's different, but for all this Big Ten conversation, and especially last night, Mike, with Notre Dame winning, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so over it. You use the word chirp all the time. Can you imagine Ohio State fans are going to roll in here, you know, that weekend of January 20th when the national championship is played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm telling you, they travel well. That's a given. But they're going to be so like, oh, and to win it here in Atlanta? Ah, come on.
Yeah, man, look, I told you, I've never been a fan of Notre Dame. I mean, we covered it. As a matter of fact, Carl and I both took Penn State yesterday, so we got one loss in the column for this week already.
Well, that but it looks so it good in like, the first half. That's why I blame Franklin.
You just start to feel that maybe, I don't know, Marcus Freeman's got some mojo, man. Like, you know, and it's all the bad juju that's left with Brian Kelly. You know, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like Notre Dame just, I don't want to, get over the top on it, but just they got some good things going with that defense. And if Riley Leonard can, if he can just cut down on the bad decisions, then yeah, they can hang. I just felt that last night, you know, watching that at halftime, you're saying, oh man, whoever wins the Ohio State Texas game is going to beat both of these guys. Maybe Notre Dame has something to say about that.
We're going to see. We've got our official picks coming up. Chris, 20-21. Orange 18-23, along with Mike, I'm 26-15. We'll give you our three games for the weekend next. It is time for the picks of the week. Right now, Orange is 18-23, Mike is 18-23, Turtle is 20-21, I am 26-15. Big shout out to Rob Tribble, who picked for me last week when I was out for the holidays. And we have three games to pick now. We pick them against the spread, over, under. Again, we have a college football game that you can get in on throughout the college football season. You can pick any game, but one game, and then we've got the NFL wild card weekend. So let's get to it. Now, again, Orin is in today, and he's got Turtle's picks. Turtle is executive producing the show today, but Orin, as we said, his mic's not been working, so that may be a good thing, considering where his record is. I don't know. But what do you have? Let's start with you first, Orin. What are your picks?
All righty, guys. I am going to start with the aforementioned Chargers with BMAC. Chargers are three-point favorites, so give me the Chargers over the Texans. I think the Rams being displaced might not be a great thing for them. So give me the Vikings minus a three versus the Rams. And, yeah, I'm buying Baker right now, man. The Bucks, we saw it, you know, up close and personal. The Bucks are playing great football right now. So give me the Bucks minus the three over the Commanders.
Let me ask you guys, is this like a moment where Jaden Daniels steals the spotlight? I'm with you. Baker's playing great. I'm with you. But you know what I mean, Mike? Like, He's had these moments, right? He had the Hail Mary, and even our game where you go, all right, as soon as they won the toss, you're like, crap, we know how talented he is, and he just leads his team down the field. He's a guy, I get the sense, that he's like, those moments are just, they're not too big for him, and he's a rookie. This is the kind of stuff that, and I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but Brady had these moments where you just went, you felt like it was going to go his way. I only say that if it's close, Oren.
Right.
That's how I feel about this game. I think he's got the ability to just go, we need to go score down the field and ball game.
I'm with, you know, Jaden Daniels. I mean, I think we look at guys in their first opportunity in the postseason. You think of like Mike Vick, you know, the year that he dazzled everybody. You know, and you think about like going into Lambeau, Carl, upsetting the Packers first time at a home loss at Lambeau. That was Mike Vick. Special teams, too, was a big part of that game.
Good point.
Is the moment going to be too big, or is Jaden going to be able to handle his water, right? And hey, don't forget, how does Dan Quinn, if it comes down to a one possession game late, how does DQ handle his business? Just something to think about. I'm looking at that game, too, but something to think about.
All right. So, tell me again. Who do you like? Give them to me again.
All right. We got the Chargers minus the 3, Vikings minus the 3, and the Bucks minus the 3.
All right. Give me Chris's picks. Then Mike is going to go. Then I will go. What is Turtle have today for his picks of the week?
Now, he's going to Riverside be here. He's taking Washington plus the 3 versus Tampa.
Yeah.
He's got Philly minus the 5 versus Green Bay. That's a solid pick. And tonight, he is rolling with the Buckeyes. He's got Ohio State minus the 6 over Texas. Sorry, Carl.
All right. And I've seen, like, people go Buckeyes by 10. I'm like, that's a blowout in these games, guys. Like, if you're winning by 10 or more, that's why what they've done is so impressive. That's going to be a blowout if they win by 10 or more. The number is what, 6, you said? Is that right, 6?
He's got it at 6, yeah.
All right, fair enough. Turtle, good luck. Not really. Mike Bell, what do you got for us?
Hey, man. Now, you and I both took it in the shorts last night because we found out Notre Dame had the flu. Well, obviously, they got a lot of fluids, Carl, because they were able to handle their business. So I'm going to stay away from Texas and Ohio State. But I will give you some information, though, for those that are thinking about this game tonight. For all it's worth, guys, after starting the year, the Longhorns were 5-1 against the spread until they lost to Georgia. Since then, 3-6 against the number. Meanwhile, Ohio State has covered all 3 of its games as a single-digit favorite in 2024. So, remember, they were a double-digit favorite against Michigan, so for what it's worth.
That's right.
So, Texas and Ohio State have pushed the total over in back-to-back playoff games, despite entering the postseason on understreaks. I'm getting this, by the way, from the College Football Network, the one that our buddy works for. What's his name? The guy who broke the Ohio State story. Oh,
McMurphy.
That's his network. Brett McMurphy. That's where I got it from. Or stadium, whatever the hell it's called, Carl. That's the place. This is where I'm getting my information from. We used to joke around, where are you getting your information from? But for what it's worth, Texas, you know, has been wobbly against the number. I do like the over. So I'm going to take the over in the Ohio State Texas game, and I'm going to
give it
to you
right
now.
What's the number on the over?
I'm looking it up as we speak to make sure. I'm hoping it kind of went up. That's what I'm looking for.
Is it 52? It's more than that, right?
Hold on. It's coming up right now. Sorry about this.
No, you're
fine. I apologize to those at home. My wife is on a conference call, and we have Wi-Fi that is, well, not great down here on the south side. Carl, we're looking for better Wi-Fi. The over-under on this is 52, and I'm going to take over. I think Ohio State and Texas go over.
Yeah, that I agree with. I said 34-27. So, okay, that's good information, though, about Ohio State covering the number. All right, what else you got?
Hey, man, I was really looking at Baltimore. Remember, guys, Baltimore, they lost in Week 11 to the Steelers. Lamar was horrible in Pittsburgh. They lost 18-16. About a month later, they put the wallop on the Steelers, 34-17. The Baltimore Ravens, it's a bit rich for me, Carl. I'm going to stay away. It's 9.5. Woo. Even though Russell Wilson has looked terrible, you and I were debating. We were talking off the air yesterday when we were at Twin Peaks. Thanks to everybody who came out. We had a huge crowd in Buckhead. It was great. But do you think they're going to have specific – you think Arthur Smith has got to roll out some specific Justin Fields packages to kickstart this offense?
I do. They need a change of pace. And we know Russell can't – he doesn't effectively run that RPO stuff like they do with Justin. Guys, if you haven't watched the Steelers, 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, whatever, they'll put him in the game, put him in the shotgun. And you're like, oh, okay, right. Well, he's going to throw it. And then they run that fake handoff to Najee Harris, and all of a sudden Justin's on the edge, and he's picked up 5 yards. Yes, I think they have to do that to just give the Ravens a different look in this game. I'm with you, Mike, that it's a big number. I mean, if the Ravens beat the Steelers that badly, that's saying a lot about a Ravens team without Zay Flowers, too. That is my concern about that game, is can they go down the field? But are you picking that one?
I am not going to touch it. So even though I gave you all that information, I'm going to just pull you away from that one and go behind what's out there on door number three. They're playing in Arizona. Not that it matters, because there's never really a home field advantage for the Rams anyway, because everyone always gets tickets out there in L.A. Carl, it is the classic Master and Padawan. It's Kevin O'Connell going up against his former boss, Sean McVay. And everybody around the league doesn't trust Sam Darnold. And I don't trust Sam Darnold after what the Lions did. I think that Braden Fisk and Jared Verse, go Knowles, will be getting after it. So I'm going to get the Rams getting 2.5. I like the Rams to win outright, but I think that Kevin O'Connell going up against his mentor, Sean McVay, the difference will be Matthew Stafford will be steadier. And I do think, despite the dynamic wide receiver play of the Vikings, I think this moment might be too big for Sam Darnold. I'm taking the Rams getting 2.5.
I like that. I like that pick. I do. And I'm kind of with you when I think about, if this just comes down, sometimes, guys, it's just as simple. It comes down to quarterbacks. Stafford's better, has been better, is a Super Bowl champion, was better with the Lions, didn't have the cast or the crew around him. I agree with you on that. I think if it comes down to that, and then that's why I would pick the Rams. All right, did lose on Penn State last night. Thanks, James Franklin. Up 10. You blew a 10-point lead. How? Okay.
Houseway.
I want to pick Texas to cover the 6. I really do. But I agree with you, Mike. I am going to pick this game because I feel like I have to. But I'm going to roll with you. I think this is an over game. I said it. I think this is a 34-27 kind of game. Now, I'm hoping Texas is on the winning end of that. But I do think the overall score is going to be more than the 52. So I will go there. And then, man, I really want to pick Washington. 4 points on the road. I really want to pick Washington. But I'm going to go Buffalo to beat the snot out of Denver and cover that number. I think it is 8.
Even with a good defense? Even with a good defense?
Yes, you that's think a that, big
I'm not saying
Carl.
Bo Nix.
Yes.
I mean, yes. But you know what, Carl's? I'm not putting words in your mouth. You're banking on Bo Nix turning it over a couple times.
Well, that and, you know, you're talking about, here's the thing with Denver. Guys, they can't score with these elite teams. Go look at their schedule and look at the teams that were over 500 and playoff teams this season with the Broncos and how they played in those games. They've had a really good season, but the road stops here. And you're talking about the second highest scoring team in the National Football League in the Buffalo Bills. And they're at home. And Josh Allen just got dissed for first team all pro. Over Lamar wins it over. He's motivated. This just sets up, I think, perfectly. Yes, it's 9 or what is it, 8? I think Buffalo wins by 10 or more easily in this game. And you're right. This is Bo Nix's first go-around. Josh has been here and been waiting to get back to this moment from last year. I think the Bills roll. So I'm going to take the Bills at home against the Broncos. And by the way, if the Broncos pull up off the upset, Sean McDermott is fired. Okay, because you cannot continue to do this and say he's the guy. If they lose at home against Denver, I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't surprise me right after the game if he gets fired, but they won't. I think they win, and they win big, so that's where I'm going. Give me Texas and Ohio State over, and give me the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia. Can't wait.
Hey. All right. For what it's worth, by the way, a buddy of ours who's a Delta pilot who lives down here, he's listening. He's at home, too, by the way, listening online right down the street. Give a shout-out to a Captain Rick. He goes, I love the over tonight. Love it.
Yeah,
so good. And again, 34-17 takes you under. 34-20 puts you over. I mean, I think Ohio State wins 34-20.
Okay. Listen, that's a dominant win. And by the way, if they beat Texas 34-20, forget about it, Notre Dame. They're going to lose, too. Because that means you have beaten, well, regardless of what you think about Tennessee, Oregon, And Texas, hands down, have been two of the top five teams in the country all year, and you just humiliated them. So I would think that, you know, you could look at that and go ahead and say this is going to be Ryan Day's year if they do do that. If it's a close game and you said it, field goals and all that, that's a different animal. But I don't want to see a blowout. I hope we get an entertaining game tonight. All right, Guy Talk's right on the way, guys. Or Steve Kuhn is going to join us. I apologize. Steve Kuhn is going to join us, Oren? Oh, my man. All right, great, because we got a lot to talk about with the Hawks. I wasn't sure with the whole snow situation. But Steve Kuhn is set to join us.
Yes. Neither rain nor sleet nor cold weather will keep Steve Kuhn from his appointed rounds.
Well, good, because he joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we do it each and every week, and we got to talk to the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. Hawks coming off of a long West Coast road trip. Steve Kuhn joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you enjoying this snow day, Steve?
It's a unique day in the sense that it doesn't seem to be affecting anybody at the NBA in New York. So we've been in meetings most of the day. You know, we have a game planned for tomorrow, and it, you know, takes a lot of preparation on a day like today because we want to make sure our agents, our players, our everyone is safe. So it's been a lot of phone conversations today.
Hmm. So is that like a virtual meeting, like a Zoom? You're wearing like a blazer and pajamas underneath?
I don't wear a blazer, just pajama bottoms, basically. Get the picture.
I hear you. Let's talk about this road trip. And first of all, I mean, we get out of L.A. right as these fires take place. I mean, you played the Lakers and the Clippers, and then, you know, all this stuff happens. Our hearts go out. I know the NBA, Steve, and I want you to address this, is doing a lot or as much as they can at this point to try to help the folks there with all these fires out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a tragedy like unlike something I've ever seen before. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people connected to the NBA, connected to the entertainment business that we know, have literally lost everything. And so the game gets very small when you're dealing with real life events like this. So, yeah, we were fortunate that we got out of there, and then you know, this terrible tragedy has happened.
It's interesting, Carl. We're just talking about with Steve what's going on out there. I just saw from a Falcon special teamer, Avery Williams. He posted about 20 hours ago, the house he grew up in is gone. My family completely safe. It'll be fine. He says, but if you know, donate. I know there's a number of ways you can do it. Fox Sports has got a couple of things you can link to with the Red Cross. But either way, yeah, I think everybody out here right now could at least send a few bucks out that way and help those people as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with an inconvenience of weather. They're dealing with a life-changing tragedy. And whatever we can do, to, you know, from Atlanta to help them, I think is not only appropriate but necessary. We're certainly doing that.
We struggled on the road trip. I know we've been dealing with a lot of injuries, but, you know, how did you feel about the things that we saw from Trae Young? Another 20-point, 20-assist game. Steve, I think he's playing his best basketball, and, you know, we're pushing the fact that, you know, go vote for him for the All-Star game. Just curious to know what you think about what's going on with him.
Well, I mean, I think he's playing great, and when Jaylen's out, who's arguably, you know, our second best player, then it puts an even bigger burden on Trae. So, you know, he was certainly able to deliver, and our bench played really, really well. I mean, we just kind of ran out of gas against Phoenix. I was hoping we would have come home with a split, but considering what we were up against, you know, we're still in the mix, and I think that's all you want as we approach the halfway mark, that we're competitive against any team. We've proven that. And when we're healthy, we're something to, you know, something to enjoy. And I think we played really well. We just got to be healthy. We just don't have the pieces where you can lose something as big as Jaylen and, you know, make it up easily. So,
and it's
and
a
lot
shame
of teams
because
are doing that.
Right. We were tied for sixth, Carl, in the Eastern Conference, and with that loss, all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're 500. We're down to the 9 spot. So, I mean, the good news is everybody's closely bunched up in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, we're two games out of five.
Yeah. Right. Jalen Johnson, you just can't replace him right now. And I think that, you know, Trey, I mean, the other night, Steve, the brand of Trey, we were talking so much about it. These are the moments which gets Trey back on the spotlight, gets more about the juice for the All-Star game and eventually the Olympics, things like what he did the other night.
What he did the other night was amazing. I mean, I'm watching the game, 3 seconds left. I kind of had my head hanging because, you know, they tied the game, and it's like, oh, boy, here we go, overtime on the road, you know, fifth game of a road, two-week road trip. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and I saw all the players going nuts, and I had to wait to the replay to see what he did. And that wasn't, you know, a Hail Mary. That was a shot, you know? There's a difference when you throw a baseball style or, football style, and you're praying it goes in. He lined it up, shot it, and it went. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Absolutely was. Did you, and I don't know, I'm asking, did you go to the Georgia game in New Orleans? Were you there for the Sugar Bowl?
I did not. I did not. We had a wedding that we attended. And why would I want to go to a Sugar Bowl when I can go to somebody, one of my wife's friends' weddings? I mean, come on. It's crazy.
Ooh, poor planning.
You don't get poor that planning. Kind of, you don't get that kind of, you know, opportunity all the time.
Yeah.
Versus watching your favorite, you know, college team play in one of your favorite towns. Why would I want to do that?
I know.
And by the way, well, was the wedding – but here's the thing, Carl. Was the wedding was it before the – because some weddings are set out like 18 months in advance. Was this before the college football playoff came into being?
Not before the college football playoff, but before Georgia was seeded, yes.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Kind of had to go. Well, let's ask you
very
about,
selfish,
about
very
that.
Selfish.
Steve Kuhnen is a dog. Go Dogs. And he is obviously a very – passionate fan. Obviously, the loss of Kirby's father, you know, caught everybody. I mean, that was certainly unexpected, Ooh. And we send out our best and our condolences to him and his family. But, you know, the game itself, I mean, you watch that game, and I just thought, Steve, it was like Mike and I were talking about, it was kind of indicative of the season, right? There were ups and downs. You know, we use the word, wobble, and you know, they were inconsistent right. at times. That's how I felt about that game. And then, you know, they had their chances. But I do think moving forward, you saw what I think everybody was kind of looking for. And that's Gunnar Stockton. I do think they're going to be good next year.
I thought he was very good. You know, there was just no flow to these games. Even the Texas game, SEC championship game we won, there was no flow. Like last night's Notre Dame game was, I scored 10 points, you scored 10 points. You do this, I do that. Right. And there was excitement and flow. The Notre Dame game, 17 points dictated the whole game. I can't remember seeing a Georgia game that was decided in an instant. And that was like decided in an instant. And you kind of knew once they came out and I got those points that it was going to be very, very difficult. And we left a lot of red zone points. But I am optimistic for next year. We have great recruiting classes and, you know, huge condolences to the Smart family. What a terrible tragedy. This has not been a great year so far. We need to work on this year, gentlemen.
Yes, losing his dad, yeah.
Just his dad and the fires and, you know, all the kind of stuff, wedding, New Year's Eve. So, you know, not going great, but starting today, everything will turn up roses.
It's a promise from our man, Steve Kuhnen, right here on Dukes and Bell on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Steve, the thing is, you know, about like this playoff, we said it earlier, I'm not making excuses for Kirby because they just didn't have the playmakers at the wideout position. You just don't replace a guy like Brock Bowers, that's obvious. But to me, it's also like in the trenches, the offensive line, you know, they really were getting outmatched at times. Do you feel that, you know, hey, Carl, let's create some controversy on a Friday. Steve, what would you do with the offense? What about the offensive coordinator? You happy as a Georgia fan with what Bobo's been doing?
So let's talk about the national championship coming to Atlanta. I'm too old and experienced to take your bait, but I do applaud you for trying. You realize the entire world of college football, the first championship ends here in Atlanta. And so far we know Notre Dame's coming, one of the, you know, most heralded heralded programs in history. And I'm really excited about it coming. We've got two big concerts next weekend that people should come down to, including Lil Wayne's coming to town with friends, and Camila Cabello. And it's going to be rocking. And from what I understand, Notre Dame travels quite well and is looking to, you know, I think the first time they've been in a championship in 20 plus years. And who do you guys think is the play tonight?
I'm Carl and I were just talking about it. Right.
Yeah, I'm hoping Texas, but Ohio State's been playing so well. I mean, they just have. You got to recognize that. But, yeah, listen, if it is Ohio State, Notre Dame, it's great for our city. If it's Texas, they're going to have – it's been since 2005, right? I mean, that's the last time we won it. So you're going to have – you're going to have a ton of folks who make the trip. And either way, it is going to be great for our city. I do agree with you on that, Steve.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and I think let's get the bad weather out of the way this weekend and then welcome the college football world to Atlanta, because it's going to be really, really special.
By the way, real and quick, Steve, those concerts, I'm sorry, Mike, those concerts, are those a part of the college football activities?
Yeah, absolutely. They're the playoff playlist live. Thank you for asking. I forgot to say that. All right. And we'd love Atlantans to come on down and have, you know, enjoy the fun, as hopefully we'll be back in the championship next year.
Nice. Hey, by the way, Steve is correct though, Carl. You got to go back to 88. That's the last time, you know, they had a national championship. They have played for a championship. Remember, that was the famous Steve Brent Musburger game where he's like, oh, look at that quarterback, look at that girlfriend. That was
Didn't
the
Bama
year
beat
that
him
was
like
the man.
By 50. All kidding aside, I mean, I think Bama put up a 50 on him.
Yep, they lost the BCS championship game, and they've been to some semifinals under Coach Kelly, and you know. But I love it. I was telling Carl earlier, I don't know if they've got the horses for Texas or for Ohio State, but the Marcus Freeman story is a hell of a story for Notre Dame.
It's a great story, and my favorite thing of the day, Mike, is that you just turned Brent Musburger into a registered sex offender, which is not something that happens every day.
No, hold on, time out. Time out, Steve. I defended Brent. I'm just saying, for millennials and certain people that were learned a certain way from everything from school to HR and their company, that was just a guy having fun and appreciating beauty. It was turned into like a cardinal offense back in the day. I just thought it was entertaining, just for the record. Let the record
and
reflect.
And that Alabama quarterback and that wonderful cheerleader are still married today. That's true love.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right about that. Tomorrow's game, before we let you go, scheduled to play, correct?
Yes. It is scheduled to play, but obviously with the situation, we're asking everybody to, you know, check and look, and we'll be out there on social media. We'll be communicating exactly what's going on with it. The Rockets are in town. They arrived late last night. We got back from Phoenix around 4 in the morning. So everybody's in town, and we'll just see what happens. I mean, it truly pivots on tonight's weather.
No doubt. All right, Steve, thank you so much. Good luck tomorrow. And obviously, we'll be talking more about the Hawks. That was the longest road trip, guys, out west. We're going to get some more home games now, and it'll start to hopefully feel a little bit better coming off that trip. Steve, thanks so much,
Carl,
man. Be careful.
If I can compliment you, you've done a really good job on the FanDuel TV pregame, halftime, and postgame show. I've been really, really impressed. So thank you for all your help making Hawks basketball entertaining and interesting. You've done a great job.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. We have fun, and we have fun with you every week. Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO, here on Dukes and Bell. Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right. Be well.
And the camera loves you. And by the way, you radiate. You just—I couldn't even see Trevor Scales last night. Or the other night. It was all you. It's all you.
Hey, man. Coming up, we're going to talk about our Falcons. What is this process? Do you believe in the process? And also, you're going to hear our interview with AA. Alex Anthopoulos stopped by the show yesterday to get you caught up on the Braves moves. It's all on the way in the 5 o'clock hour. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate.